The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
All right, let's get behind movements, organizations, and people who want racial reconciliation, want equality, want unity. Let's get behind those people, organizations, ministries, churches, movements. Let's expose the individuals, organizations, and movements that are trying to divide us. Welcome to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour of the program. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. There are a lot of people trying to unite us. I have been listening as much as I can recently to Tony Evans, pastor from down in Dallas, Texas, African-American. Love Tony Evans. We had him here in Columbus for a pastor appreciation breakfast. My home church had him in for a service. I've listened to Tony for years, just have enormous respect for Tony Evans. He has a very racially diverse church in Dallas. And he is using the platform that God has given him, which is a huge platform, to deal with racial inequality, to hit racism right in the face without flinching, without compromising. But he has also had a message of unity that the answer is in the gospel. It is not a skin problem. It is a sin problem. I think he has demonstrated excellent balance in his approach to this entire racism thing. It's not a black problem. It's not a white problem. It's not, you know, the answer is not making a bunch of white people guilty. There's a whole bunch of people, including a bunch of white people. Their ultimate desire is to make a bunch of white people guilty, and that's going to solve. Listen, guilt is a terrible motive for anything. Guilt is a terrible motive. So anyway, I am all for the organizations, the movements, the people that are trying to unite us. I am opposed to those that are trying to divide us. And I'm really fearful that American professional sports is becoming one of the key instruments of division in America today. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I do not see good things happening at all with the future of Major League Baseball, the NFL. I don't know so much about hockey. I haven't seen a whole lot of ridiculous divisiveness on from hockey. But baseball, oh my goodness. Football, wow. Basketball? Oh, yes. And listen to this. Now, most of you are familiar with the WNBA. That's the Women's National Basketball Association. Now, they're not nearly as popular as the men's NBA, granted, but it is a professional league. The women involved in the WNBA do not make as much as the men. And why is that? They don't sell as many tickets. They don't make as much money. So it would make sense that the league that generates the most income would have the highest wages. That's just common sense. But anyway, listen to this story. This is from Time Magazine. The WNBA season began Saturday with players from the Seattle Storm and the New York Liberty walking off the court as the national anthem played. Kneeling wasn't enough. Turning their back on the flag wasn't enough. They marched out. They came in, they warmed up, got everything ready, national anthem was played. They stormed off the court in protest. Now, I try my best to stay away from extremes. You've heard me say thousands of times through the years, the devil lives in the extremes. I try to stay away from even extreme statements. And for years and years and years, I would hear people say, well, the liberal left hates America. This group hates America. And I would always say, that's pretty strong. There aren't many people in America that actually hate America. It always bothered me because I always thought it was a broad generalization that probably wasn't true. Listen, there is a large number of people in America that now hate America. They left the court, walked off the court as the national anthem played in a message for racial justice. And my honest question, how does disrespecting the flag of the United States and disrespecting the national anthem, how does that do anything for racial justice? And that's an honest question. That's not rhetorical. And maybe someone in our audience can tell me. How does this help racial justice? The players jointly then dedicated 26 seconds of silence for the entire season to Breonna Taylor. Now, Breonna Taylor, the story is a tragic story. Police killed her. She was an EMT down in Kentucky. And everything about her death is absolutely tragic. It really is. But as I have said, the liberal left and the mainstream media is trying to put forth this narrative that white cops all over America wake up every morning hoping they can shoot and kill some black person that day. That just isn't true. And the facts, the statistics do not bear that out. The killing of Breonna Taylor was a horrible, tragic thing. And the police officers will pay a price. But anyway, one of the team members said, quote, I don't want to hear the anthem. I don't want to stand out there. I don't want to be anywhere near it because it's ridiculous that justice and freedom are just not offered to everybody equally. This is a black professional basketball player who is making far, 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 far more money than most black women in America, making more money than most white women in America. And by the way, the WNBA is 70% black. 70% black. And good for them. That's wonderful that they're making good money and they're professionals. They have worked hard for that. Good for them. But that is not possible in any other country in the world. I do not believe, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please, please, and I mean this, somebody call me and correct me. I don't know of any black women's professional sports league anywhere in the world that makes the money that the WNBA does here in America. In other words, black female basketball players have an opportunity and a privilege that black women do not have, to my knowledge, anywhere else on the earth. Strange, isn't it? All right, we'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
One of the reasons why I continually encourage you to become a part of our social media family on Facebook and Twitter is because of the articles that we post. Almost every story that I talk about on the air, by the time I'm finished talking about it, Jeff, my engineer, has it posted on Facebook and on Twitter. Here is a story that you need to see. We're hearing a lot about critical race theory. What in the world is critical race theory? It's abbreviated CRT. Right now, there is a raging debate in the Southern Baptist Convention about critical race theory. Several Christian colleges and universities around the country are in deep divided debates over CRT, critical race theory. Well, you need to understand a little bit about what critical race theory is all about. Well, I keep telling you, I am not an expert on anything, but I do read and I do think. The folks at Breakpoint, that's Chuck Colson's organization, they do an excellent job, Eric Metaxas, John Stonestreet, and others, in writing insightful editorials on topics that impact all of us. Today, Shane Morris and John Stonestreet have published an editorial and the headline, What Do We Do with Critical Theory, Racism, White Privilege, and Christianity? It's excellent. It's an excellent article, and I encourage you to check it out. Let me give you some quotes. Maybe it will help all of us understand what this critical race theory is all about. And by the way, many, 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 many evangelical Christians believe this whole critical race theory is absolutely essential for racial unity. I disagree. Anyway, listen to this. Critical theory, like the classical Marxism it borrows from, that should tell you a lot. Critical theory, like the classical Marxism it borrows from, views human beings in purely materialist terms. So, according to critical theory, our race, sexual orientation, gender identity aren't mere aspects of who we are. They are our defining characteristics. In each of these areas, we are either part of the oppressed groups or we're the oppressors. Did you get that? You are either part of the oppressed group or you are the oppressors. Well, in critical race theory, the minorities, black, are the oppressed. It doesn't make any difference your family, your economic background, your education. If you're black, you're oppressed. Also, if you're white, you are the oppressor. Again, no matter what you think, your education, your background, if you're white, you're an oppressor. Again, quoting, according to critical theory, the oppressed group automatically has moral authority, while the oppressor group does not. This explains a great deal about Black Lives Matter, and I'm talking about the organization of the movement. Again, let me repeat. According to critical theory, the oppressed group automatically has moral authority, while the oppressor group does not. Someone who is a racial minority or a sexual minority of some kind are automatically victims of oppression and have claims against oppressors and the unearned privilege that makes their life easier at the expense of their oppressed neighbors. Critical theory, however, ignores every other factor or squashes it into the oppressor-oppressed dynamic. This view distorts reality and often turns on itself. For example, whether or not a child grows up with a father is statistically more important than their ethnic identity. Other factors such as religious commitment, education, sexual decisions, and family stability have profound power to shape the lives and futures as individuals, families, and whole communities. But you see, according to critical race theory, that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the color of your skin. If you are part of the majority, you are the oppressor. If you're a part of the minority, you are the oppressed. Your religious background, how you were raised, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is the color of your skin. And that's why so many people are very, very hesitant to embrace any part of critical race theory. It's a good article. I hope you'll check it out. All right, let's go to the phones quickly. Charles is on the line in Columbus. Welcome, Charles.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
Good, good. Bob, I have two comments. Initially, I was calling for one other, to make one comment, but after the after these last few minutes, all this hogwash you're saying, I want to address that. First of all, to say that folks who, black people, don't be specific, who are still fighting for our full first-class citizenship of the country, hates America, is total garbage, Bob. No group of Americans have been more loyal to their flag than black Americans. Even when we were enslaved, we were still fighting for our freedom, but there was a sense we were still fighting for this country's freedom. Indeed, the first person who died for the freedom of this country was a black man. Here's what I want to say. Now, you talked about the WNBA and how these women make more money than the average white woman. And pretty much them walking off the court is a disrespect to the flag. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Bob, are you familiar with Tori Hunter?
Charles, I'm sorry, but the bottom of the hour break is coming up, and that's a hard branch, and the computer's going to cut us off. It's not like the quarter hour breaks. If you would have called a little bit earlier, I could have given you more time and would have been glad to. All right, we'll be back with more Bob Burney Live.